pushers, the environmental thugs, the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Usual show, call in, talk about whatever you want to discuss. We're going to talk gardening. It is fall gardening time. It's time for the third or last, whatever number you have, last fertilization or the third fertilization of the year time. And we'll talk about all that stuff. There's a few things that have been going on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/thedirtdoctor. If you haven't checked that out, a lot of good stuff going on there. Telephone number to be with me is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This hour is brought to you by Victor Pet Foods. My dog Judy was out of town, and she usually feeds them in the afternoon around 5 o'clock. And big Carmen, 110-pound Carmen, she comes and lets you know that it's 5 o'clock. And I didn't know she was sitting around acting a little strange, and I had forgotten that yesterday. And at about 5:15, she was giving me the eye. So got the Victor dog food out, and they were fine. I usually give them a little bit twice a day, in the morning after we do breakfast usually, and then we give, as I said, some out at 5 o'clock. But Victor's great stuff. VictorDogFood.com is where to find out more information about it. No wheat, corn, soy, or gluten in any of the products. That's a big deal. No chemical preservatives in any of their products, and that's a even bigger deal in a lot of ways. A lot of those chemical preservatives cause some serious problems for the dogs and the cats. A lot of good stuff, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics, and a lot of really interesting ingredients. Some of the products, in fact, quite a few selections from Victor are completely grain-free. So if you're into that, we're trying both and seeing how our dogs respond to both. So far, so good with both ways of going. Victor brings you the SPCA Dog of the Week, and there's a cutie this week, I'll tell you. The note I got doesn't say what happened with the dog from last week. Hopefully, good things. We'll try to look into that and see. This week it's Brody, 2-year-old, 41-pound Akita mix, great personality, came to the SPCA in July 30th, actually. He was rescued from inhumane conditions. He's very happy to be where he is, but he'd be even happier if he had a permanent home. Really energetic, likes to play, always in a good mood. He's also good with kids. That's a big deal. Real good-looking dog, black and white. Check him out. Photographs on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Of course, this is in Dallas. This is in the Dallas SPCA, Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center, down at 2400 Lone Star Drive, I-30 and Hampton Roads, just west of downtown Dallas. Wherever you are in the country, support your rescue operations. By far the best place to get a pet, and just something we've been doing now for a long time. Brody has been neutered, microchipped, and given all the age-appropriate vaccinations. So check him out on our website on dirtdoctor.com and go see him in person, which would be even better. Callers to the show today are going to get a little prize. There's always something going on. Today it's a little different. It'll be a bar of either lemongrass, basil, or lavender, eucalyptus, or unscented Farmer's Market organic soap. It's a soap I use. I'm very impressed. The way they lather up, the way they feel, the way they smell, they're organic. It's a pretty big deal what the company has done. Get more information on our website, dirtdoctor.com, or go to their website, which is fmorganics.com. David will help you out when you call in, so give us a buzz, 866. I got a few things to do, but we won't be too long going to the phones. 866-444 3478. It is, as I said, fall planting time. All kinds of things are falling out that I didn't know I had here. Fall planting time for you, wherever you are in the country, one way or another. Those of you that have been asking me about garlic and things like that, garlic and onions, the onions have started showing up. I was at Rhodey's Nursery yesterday. They just got in a bunch of onions there. So if you're planting the seed onions or the actual seed, it's time to get that going to create your own transplants. If you do transplants, you can wait until early in the year to do it. But the fun thing is that the transplants of cool season things are starting to show up, if not already being there in the garden centers. There's still quite a few things that you can plant from seed and have time to grow your own transplants. So you can do that. The ones that you still have time for would be in the category of carrots and radishes. You could probably still grow kohlrabi from seed, a lot of the greens, spinach, and lettuce. In fact, you might even be a little bit too early in some cases for some of the leafy vegetables. But growing those from seed makes a lot of sense. Transplants are fine, too. If you run out of time, don't have time to get your seed started, buying the transplants at the garden centers, it's certainly a good way to go, too. I recommend you do a little bit of both and learn about the timing. I've planted transplants at our experimental gardens that include things like cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, some kale, various kinds of things like that. But and I've also planted seed. You can plant seed of beets, carrots, things like that. Have some good fun, good luck with that as well. And we'll talk more about that as we go, about the timing. I think a lot of it depends on what the weather does, and in the fall it's pretty roller coaster, so it's a little bit of a crapshoot, as always. This is also the time where the organophobes are out there promoting the chemical pre-emergent herbicides, which we, of course, don't recommend in any way. But the timing on those is the same that you would use for the fall organic fertilizer application, which would give you some indirect pest control, herbicidal control. The one that's the strongest is corn gluten meal. You don't hear me strongly recommend corn gluten meal as much as I do for the spring. In the spring, I don't even recommend that highly because the cost has gotten way up there. But if you do want the organic version of a pre-emergent herbicide, pre-emergent fertilizer that has herbicidal properties, it's corn gluten meal, not corn meal, but corn gluten meal. And you put it out somewhere between 15 and 20 pounds per thousand square feet. And yes, there is all kinds of research about it. And Iowa State came up with it. Dr. Nick Christians and his people, they don't recommend it anymore because they're in business with the Scotts company, and Scotts doesn't sell corn gluten meal. But that's where the research is, where you can find it. We've got it on our website, and it makes sense in a lot of cases. I'll tell you where it makes the most sense. If you're going to be planting these fall vegetables like I was talking about, which I recommend, and in a new bed, which it probably will be, you know, you've tilled it, you've taken out what's there, you've got a bare pallet of soil that you're going to be planting either seed or transplants, either one. Get the seed going once they have germinated and are growing. Corn gluten meal is a great thing to use around the little small seedlings. It's fine to use the day you plant the transplants. And it's one of those things that works in that situation great, because when you have disturbed bare soil like that, you're going to have some weeds popping up, even if you mulch, which, of course, we recommend. You can't mulch if you put down small seed until those seed have germinated and seedlings are starting to grow. But if you do transplants and you have mulch around them, thin layer of mulch, not thick, and don't pile the mulch up on the stems of the plants, but at planting time, putting down the corn gluten meal does two things. It fertilizes the transplants to get off to a good start, And it functions as a herbicide, a pre-emergent herbicide, and keeps those new beds very clean. That's the best place to use it. And generally, those aren't huge areas anyway, so the cost effectiveness is quite good there. Well, we'll talk more about that stuff and other subjects and then get to the phones. We already have some people holding, so we'll get there pretty quickly. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'm back right after this.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with garage juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
And speaking of trees, a couple of quick things before we go to the phones here. It is that time of the year for you to at least put on the calendar, if not start doing the work itself. Get the vines off the bases of the trees. Get them out of the top of the trees for sure. Get them off the limbs. Get them off the trunk. Get the vines and ground covers off of the flare. You're probably going to, in a lot of cases, notice when you do this that you don't have a flare, that the trees are too deep in the ground. Coming out of the ground straight like a telephone pole, that's a bad thing, and it can be fixed easily. But the first step is to get the ground cover and posies. If you got a posy bed, any kind of flowers around the base of trees, you might want to change that. It might be a good time to look at changing that so you have the base of your trees open and bare so you can see the flare and get it exposed. It is the most important thing you can do long-term for the health of your trees. So start working on that. It's something that you have to do every year. In fact, at our place, we have to do it a couple times a year because the Persian ivy grows back around the trees out in the front yard pretty quickly. You want to keep at least a foot of space from the ground cover to the base of the flare. And like I said, when you take that ground cover, those vines back, and you notice that there's soil and mulch up on the flare, get it off. You hire an arborist to take it off with an air spade. If you have a lot of trees, if you want to do it yourself, do it with hand tools very carefully so you don't injure the flare. And what I use a lot of times, which is a great tool, is a stiff brush, like a brush for horses that you can get at feed stores, farm stores, things like that. So very, very important to do that. And well, let's see, if you've got things blooming, it's a good time. If you haven't in a while, I just did it myself, a little bit more Garrett juice on the flowering plants and, push them into production just a little bit more. If you're having certain things a little slow at blooming, which we are, our passion flowers, I was talking to Bob Webster on his show yesterday. He said he was too. The passion flowers are just now starting to bloom very late. Weird weather, roller coaster weather, cooler than normal. And then when the cool goes away, we have these spikes of really hot temperature. At least that's what we've had in our part of the world. And that answers some of the questions. And we've had some insect issues, and some of them have popped up being talked about on Facebook, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But right now, let's get started with the phones. First up this morning, Judy in Waxahachie. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
What's up?
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Okay. You answered my question earlier when you were talking about the corn gluten meal.
Mm-hmm.
My yard has been chemical-free for 3 years. I have weeds. I have three kinds of grass. And I just want to start out slow. And so that would be the one thing. If I was going to do just one thing this year, this fall, that would be the best thing, correct?
Well, it wouldn't be a terrible idea for sure. It's not the only way to go. Like I said, a corn gluten meal is a little bit more expensive than other organic fertilizers, but it's a good one. And
okay.
It's the perfect time to do it. We normally tell people that the range around September the 15th is the best time. And that's what the chemical boys are telling people to put out the toxic stuff, you know, that same kind of timing. So getting it out would be ideal, and it'd be good fertilizer too. Now, if you put out corn gluten meal, this is for you, Judy, and everybody, that functions as your fertilizer. You do not have to buy additional fertilizer. You can make Garrett juice yourself or buy it and spray it out in addition to help with flowers and things like that. But you do not need an additional dry fertilizer if you use corn gluten meal.
Oh, that'd be great. And what about overseeding with ryegrass for the winter? Would that be beneficial
in the
long run? Or?
I'm in general negative about that. I did it last year because I'd been doing a bunch of strange kind of experimental things on the turf in our backyard, which is real shady. And I decided to overseed and just have green grass last winter. And it kind of pushed the summer turf over the edge, one, because I did it, and two, because I left it on longer in the spring than we recommend. And I did it on purpose because I knew I was going to do a new project in that area, and I ended up planting a new zoysia that I hadn't tried yet and a new St. Augustine I hadn't tried yet. But you can overseed the summer grasses. The best one to overseed is Bermuda. The time to do it is now.
Oh, okay.
But you don't want to do it if you're going to be putting out corn gluten meal, because corn gluten meal will actually hurt the germination of the overseeding grass you're trying to grow.
Okay.
So you do one or the other.
Well, I think I'll go with the corn gluten meal first, and then in the springtime, what do I do and when?
Well, you can go with the corn gluten meal again, or you can go with one of the blend fertilizers like Green Sense or Nature's Guide or Maestro Grow or Medina, one of the good blend fertilizers, especially one that has alfalfa in the mix.
Okay.
That's my favorite. The other thing you can do weed-wise, and this is something we talk about every year, but I need to probably bring it up more often so people remember to do it. During the cool season, the winter season, usually it's sometime between Christmas and New Year's for those of us in Zone 8, so you have to adjust from that wherever you are in the country listening to this. But during that period of time is when the young winter weeds have germinated and are starting to grow, but the summer grasses are dormant, and so you can spray the vinegar or the fatty acid organic herbicides across the whole yard, kill the weeds, not hurt the long grasses. So make a note to do that later on.
Oh, okay. So that would be like between Christmas and New Year's.
Right. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And there's an open line all of a sudden at 866-444-3478. Somebody called and couldn't hold for some reason. Want to know about Royal Polonia, where to get it. those are trees that are, you know, not native to the U.S. They've been introduced over here. It's a very interesting tree. It has become identified as an invasive species because it will spread from the seed and all, but it doesn't seem to that badly. I notice it growing around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and there's some big ones around, and I don't see a whole bunch of babies coming up all over the place. So the idea that they're invasive may be a little bit overblown. I don't know. It's actually grown as a lumber tree in probably several different countries that have real long, good growing seasons. And even though it's a very fast-growing tree, it has extremely high-quality wood that's used for several things. If you're not familiar with it, it grows great, big and tall, fast, has smooth gray bark and dramatic pink, white to pink flowers in the spring, gigantic flowers. And it's available out there. All you got to do is call around. Any nursery could get it for you. If they don't have it in stock, you can order a mail order. But you better read about it a little bit. We've got some good information about it on DirtDoctor.com, giving you kind of the pros and cons of Royal Polonia. So check that out. And somebody else that couldn't hold one and know how long it takes a pomegranate to fruit after you've planted it, depends. Mine, my pomegranate has grown to be very large. Last year it had several hundred fruit on it. It's probably, I don't know, 10 years old, 8 years old, something like that, but it's big. And last year, it's kind of like the lima beans. the fruit hadn't completely matured all that well before we started having early frosts, and the wild animals decided they liked it more than I did, and I didn't have time to prevent it very much. And then this year, because of the winter we had, real hard winter and the roller coaster effect that we had and all that, had very few fruit set on the tree, but they're gigantic. Some of them that were coming into fruit, and I noticed while I was out of town, they always know when I'm not around, some kind of animal, and it could have been rats, squirrels, possums, raccoons, birds, combination of all of the above, decided to take the pomegranate for themselves and ate most of there's two or three really big ones still on the tree that we'll probably get, but not a whole lot. So question is, when you plant it, what it is. Mine is a pass-me-down plant from one of the listeners, and all of that as to how soon you'll get fruit. But you should start getting flowers and fruit, you know, just the first couple of years. It shouldn't take that long at all. Open line at 866-444-3478. Here's Eva in Fort Worth.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, except we have an abundance of Dallas grass.
Okay.
How do we get rid of it?
What's it in, Eva? Is it in St. Augustine or Bermuda, or what's it in?
Well, it's a mixture of St. Augustine and Bermuda. And in one area, it has been bare because we took out a tree, and there wasn't much grass there, so it just immediately sprung up.
It was opportunistic in there,
yes.
Huh? So, well, the thing to do there is to go in and just chop it out and plant some new stuff in there. You can plant new solid sod of any of the summer grasses right now. You could go the cool season route and then change over later, but I just plant a solid St. Augustine or whatever you'd like right away. There are people that say that it's too late to plant solid sod, but that's nonsense. You can plant solid sod all through the winter.
Okay, just pull out the Dallas grass and...
Yeah, if you have... I've got a wonderful tool, and I don't know for sure where all you can buy it. I think that the company that has mine sells it at Tractor Supply for one place, and it may be available at some other stores as well around. Some of the organic stores may have something similar. It's actually made from the steel of plow discs. So it's real high-quality steel, and you can keep a sharp edge on it, and it's the best for just gently chopping weeds like Dallas grass out, get down to bare soil, and replant whatever you need. Out in the turf, you chop it out, and throw a little compost in the hole that's been created when you chop it out, and the grass will grow back in from the sides. The other thing that I would suggest that you could try, and it probably will help to some degree, if not help a lot, is the commercial product called AgriLawn Crabgrass Control. And it's the only product on the market currently that is a selective herbicide.
Okay.
What you do, you wet the area, and in this case, you wouldn't need to put it except right on the Dallas grass. Wet the Dallas grass, and if some spills off onto the St. Augustine or Bermuda, that's fine. It doesn't hurt those two plants. It just hurts crabgrass, broadleaf weeds like dichondra, dollar weed, Virginia buttonweed. It works on clovers and vetches, all kinds of false strawberry, all kinds of weeds. It'll flat take them out. So you might give that product a try as well as just some physical removal. Replant the bare areas solid, good organic fertilizer to get it started well, and you'll be back in good shape.
Okay. We need to replace a couple of trees, and the soil is very rocky.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest?
Well, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and across most of Texas, you know, we have similar situations. We have a little bit of black soil on top of white rock, and sometimes the white rock is right at the surface. And we plant and grow trees real well in that situation. It's what my front yard is, as a matter of fact.
Would Chinese pistachios pistachio be a good choice?
Well, that's an introduced tree, and it's okay. I actually have some that have popped up from seed in our at our office and in our experimental gardens, and I'm going to probably keep a couple because I lost some trees from storms that were doing some shade. But as far as designing new trees into a project, I would not do Chinese pistachio.
Okay.
I would do the natives. I would do the native Texas ash, bur oak, chinquapin oak, cedar elm. The maple that's the best is called big tooth maple.
Big tooth maple, okay.
If you can find it, it's going to be harder to find, but one of my favorites for residential use is called lacy oak. It has smallish leaves for an oak tree, mm-hmm. and they're kind of a blue-green, and then in the spring when they come out, they have a beautiful kind of salmon color. It's just a terrific tree, and it gets big, but it doesn't get huge like a red oak, which is also good in the rocky soils. But the lacy oak, I'd put in the category more of a medium-sized tree, which makes it more appropriate for a lot of residential gardens.
Okay.
A little bit hard to find. So
where are some companies in the Fort Worth area that...
Well, any landscape nursery, I see this over and over, any landscape contractor or garden center has these kinds of trees from time to time. You know, there's several of us that are talking about these on a pretty regular basis. They don't have them in stock as much as they have crepe myrtle and live oak and, you know, the usual suspects and all, which are fine in the right place, too. So they may have them in stock. Just call around.
Okay.
Second thing is, if you ask them to order them for you, they can get them easily. They know the growers out there that have these things. And if all else fails, you can just order online. You can order from one of the mail order places. And that's how I get some of the unusual trees that I grow from time to time myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate your call.
Okay.
And we've got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. I tell you a couple of them that are unusual that I may have gotten a nursery to special order them for me, and I may have gotten some of these by ordering them direct. In fact, I know I did the red choke cherry. You may have heard me talk about it in the past. It's a terrific tree for a great wide range of the country. If you can look at it on our website in the library or just do a general search, you'll see that it's recommended and adapted to a wide range of territory. But it's really a cool tree, and I stumbled into it accidentally. There was a native plant sale here 15 years ago at the Heard Museum, and they were selling this thing, and it had red foliage on it. It was in the summer when I bought it, and they said it was red choke cherry, and I didn't know what it was. I planted it, and it grew, and the next year it put on quite a bit of new growth, and over a period of 3 or 4 years, it really impressed me. What it does is that it comes out with this lime, really pretty lime green foliage in the spring, and then has white flowers all over it that look a whole lot like our escarpment native black cherry. And the reason is it is a close cousin. In fact, it has the same scientific name. But it's instead of the leaves staying green all summer, they start turning red after the white flowers fade, and it's real good for attracting beneficials and all that, so it's good in that from that standpoint too. And you have this red foliage all summer long, and then in the fall, when the plant starts to turn its fall color, it goes from being a red to a deep red purple. So it is spectacular, and the trunk is a real gun barrel gray, kind of smooth, a lot like the escarpment cherry, which I also recommend. I have one of those at home, too, and it's done very, very well, and it's good for this area also. But I didn't know what the red choke cherry was. I'm real bad about keeping notes sometimes, and even if I do, remembering where I put them, that sort of thing. So I was checking around and trying to figure out what this great red tree that I planted was. I had totally forgotten what it was. And I had a trip to Kansas, let's see, Wichita, Kansas. We were doing a video shoot on some products, some organic products, helping some people out. And we went to the botanical gardens there in Wichita, Kansas. And I was walking through, and we were talking about where to do the video shoot. And lo and behold, there's my tree. There's the red foliage in the summer, and that's it. And a big sign down at the bottom of it, a red Canadian choke cherry. So make a note of that one. It's a cool one for you to try. I'll talk about some of the other kind of unusual trees that I have, because we're really getting into that period of time where it's best to plant, and it's especially good to start having this conversation and start looking around for them. And I'll tell you one that I've been meaning to plant for the last few years and haven't done it, and maybe you can help me with locating it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydrotane. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydrotane. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydrotane. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydrotane is now available to you. Hydrotane allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydrotane or order directly from Hydrotane.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega, new from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month, and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and dirtdoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I didn't mention my tea. It's really good this morning. Turk's cap, flowers, and some fruit that's starting to form. Orange peel, ginger, fresh ginger chopped up, and a big handful of peppermint and honey, quite a bit of honey, big old tablespoon of honey. It's a good tea, so give that one a try. Right now, we're going to Columbus, Ohio, and talk to Nicholas. Hi, Nicholas.
Good morning. That tea sounds really good. I might give that a try. Thank you very much.
It's very good tasting and good for you, too.
Oh, that'll be exciting. You know, most time we talk about good live things, but here's a dead question, a dead plant question. I have our neighbors share maybe a quarter of an acre of woods in back of four or five houses, and my tree is maybe a four-foot diameter oak tree, but I don't know what kind of oak. And it's probably 30 feet or 40 feet before you get to the first branch, mm-hmm. and it finally died. 2 years ago, half of it only grew at the top, and last year nothing grew at the top. And I'm wondering, with a tree like that, a majestic tree, can it be worth anything to anybody in a city, or do we still just pay somebody to tear it down because nobody wants that fine oak?
You're talking about maybe selling it for the wood that's in it?
Yeah, for the wood, veneer or board feet or something like that.
Well, if it hadn't been dead a long time and it hadn't started to rot inside, which is going to be the big question, Nicholas, that's a possibility. All I could tell you is that, like here in Dallas, we have companies that specialize in exotic woods and expensive, you know, high-quality woods. It'd be probably worth it to call some of them and tell them about it and see if anybody be interested in coming out and looking at it. When a tree dies like that, the chances are pretty good that there's already quite a bit of wet wood and rot and things like that going on inside the tree. And so it may not have any value. On the other hand, it could still be pretty firm and useful. I think the only way you could find out is get somebody that's in that business out to take a look. You might hire a local arborist. Some of the local arborists have some expertise
in that. The other thing to consider whenever you have a tree that dies, and some of the projects where I consult, especially when they're larger and more native and a little bit on the wilder side, we will encourage people to leave dead trees. They're called snags. For wildlife, for beneficial insects, for beneficial microbes, fungi that develop, woodpeckers, you know, various kind of critters use a dead snag or a dead trunk that's fallen over on the ground. You know, it's part of nature. Now, the only thing I'd have to warn you about, if it's a big tree, and it could possibly fall on somebody or something and hurt. You know, you got a danger, possible danger issue there that you'd need to look at. But that'd be another reason for you to hire an arborist, get a recommendation there in your area. I don't know any arborists in Columbus. But call around, get a good recommendation, somebody that thinks with organic techniques, and have them come out and take a look. And if you get somebody that you really like and you're impressed with, let me know who they are.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, and I appreciate the advice, and I do look forward to trying out some of this new Farm and Fleet soap, too. So thank you for your great program, fine service.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye. What he's referring to is David's allowing you to get a free sample of when you call in. Actually, the company is Farmers Market Soap. You can get a bar to test out and see what you think about it. It's an organic soap, and it's terrific. It's what I use. I recommend it highly. Let's see. There's a couple other things about trees I wanted to work in, but let's go see what Tom's up to in Orlando first. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Howard.
What's up?
I'm working out in my garden, and I'm looking at my bell pepper plants, and the dirt in the containers have shrank down. I was wondering if it was okay to pile more, I've got mushroom compost that's about finished. Can I pile that up around the root system and base of the plant, or is that bad for it?
Well, Tom, it's really, you probably know the answer to this because you're asking me about it. It's not good to pile soil up on the base of any kind of a plant at all. About the only plants that it won't hurt are palm trees.
Tomatoes?
Yeah, what happens with tomatoes that fools people a little bit, they probably are the one kind of plant that you can get away with it. But what happens is that when you pile soil up on a tomato stem, or if you lay it down sideways like a lot of people recommend planting a tomato, they grow adventitious roots out of the stem. The basic original root system kind of isn't necessary anymore. You know, there's new roots that grow, and so you get a net effect there of it being okay. But peppers won't do that, and so it really won't be too good for them. It'd be better to leave them at the grade where they are. If you add a little bit of mulch, that's fine, but don't build it up real high. You're going to get rot, and you're probably going to have a decrease in production.
Did I explain that they were in containers, and what probably has happened, the dirt has...
Well, it doesn't matter whether they're in containers or in the ground. If you pile soil up on the stem, that's a little bit of a problem. Now, you could take them out of the container gently and put some more soil down in the bottom if that's a problem and leave the surface. And you see what I mean? Replant them and leave the surface about at the same level. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, because we're going to have to run for a minute, but we can talk about it a little bit more. We'll talk about vegetables and container growing and trees. I got a few more tree things that I wanted to tell you about that I haven't yet. Whatever's on your mind. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com, and I'll be back right after this.